Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Could I ask a little favor, just because I'm feeling a little goofy today?
Sure.
It's a Friday show for the Mike O'Mara Show. Could I get maybe both of you guys to just do this for me? Just
yeah.
Bum ba dun da bum ba dun da bum ba
dun da bum ba dun da bum ba dun da bum ba dun da bum ba dun da bum
ba dun da bum ba dun da bum ba
dun. I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking.
I feel like Tony do it. I'm laughing. I can't do it.
I'm not doing much better.
I don't have to do it anymore. I hated it. I stop and see a weeping willow. And I have to do it like Patsy Cline. Crying on his pillow. Anyway, I don't know what's
she's
wrong
with
she's
from Gore, Virginia. Did you know that?
Al Gore, Virginia.
Al Gore, Virginia, where they invented the internet.
No, Gore, and also, in my humble opinion, creators of the most purchased failing product known to mankind, which is dental floss. If you use Glide dental floss, which I am addicted to, it will break always.
Well,
it will
you see,
break every day.
You've got
to
get,
it will break most when you're in a hurry.
You've got to switch to Plackers. And I'll send you a bag
no,
of them.
No, no, because I don't like to put the big plastic
it's
stick
not
in my
big.
Mouth. Like, and by the way, if we're talking about flossing, I have a better track record than you do.
Okay, sure, so but you know what?
Only started flossing when you could put that stick in your mouth because you didn't like the.
Hey, and please don't take that out of context.
Oh,
the energy
done.
Of wrapping around. I like the process of ripping off a piece, wrapping around my fingers, and flossing. And I am
okay.
A,
and
I
stay out of my yards, you pesky kids. You
well,
grandpa.
It's really? No, it's not.
Embrace the Plackers, technology, man.
Plackers are for old people.
No. Like,
I can't get the thing around my finger.
You're going to look down and
I'm
the tip of your finger is going to fall
handle.
Off because it's blood red. It looks like a grape.
Yeah, you don't like the whole thing, but I'm glad you floss with your Plackers.
I have my gingiva. I know. I buy them on Amazon. They're cheap as dirt.
All right.
But I buy them by the case.
All right.
But you know, my dentist says that I have reversed my gingiva. I have reversed my gum recession. He says I have the gingiva of a teenager now.
That wasn't the Indonesian
is he trying to
got
bang
bitten
you?
By the cobra that...
No. It's something very, very good. Right, but that's not why we had
Gingiva
you here.
Was on stage and dances with snakes. And foolish me, I researched this to see the video of Gingiva, who was dancing on snakes with cobras, got bitten by one and soldiered on. And
good
continued
idea.
The performance only to... collapse and die later, which is, you know, and a young girl, not happy at all about that. But, you know, she had a chance, I guess, to get an antidote, but she was on stage. And, you know what that powerful spotlight does to
people. Oh, I know. Right? I do indeed. You know,
you could have a serious head wound and still go on stage. That's the way that goes.
Nowhere will you get that special feeling like when you're stealing that extra bow.
That extra bow, right.
There's no business. Like show business.
And the show must go on.
It must. And that's...
The show must go on. Show must go. We had one of those this week. Anyway, so moving right along,
yes.
You wanted to tell me about something selfish
yes.
that's happening at our studios in Washington, D.C.
It always reminds me of you dropping your daughters off many years ago in the line at the school when you said, others!
Others!
Others! Or also a great thing, Paul Lynde, when he was Uncle Arthur on Bewitched, he would lean out of the car. And
way
go,
to go. Way to
selfish.
Make a reference that now 4.3% of the listening audience may get.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. That 4.3% are rolling right now.
Yeah, and they so, have mob after their name.
So Adrian walks into the studio in a cloud of Axe body spray, and he says, I don't know if it's new or not, but there's a sign in the elevator, and I say, in the elevator, it's brand new, it's today. And someone has printed out maybe about the size of an index card.
In the elevator to our building.
To our building. And
By the way, a rickety.
Oh, horrible.
Semi-efficient elevator. Semi-efficient. Way too long.
Is giving it all the best. And also with a bad bell that rings on every floor that pisses me off.
Yeah, and the bell. Let me give you something. Do an impression. Right. Tink.
Yes. Because it has like a silencer on it. So it goes ding, click.
Tink.
I hate it. So the deal is that they've put this index card piece of paper up with pieces of strapping tape over it. They've taped it just above the certificate so you can't miss it. And it reads, "For your convenience." And then there's a dotted line and it says, "Please remember to return the elevator to the first floor."
Oh,
and you know what? That is not for my convenience at all. It's not for anyone's convenience, because if you're on the elevator, you don't need it to be anywhere except around your feet. Yeah, it's not for anybody's convenience.
I'd love to know who posted that. It couldn't be the owner, could it?
No.
Could it be our owner, our guy that lives next door?
I don't think so, and I don't think it's the Catholics.
It's not the Catholics. They wouldn't do that. They're far too... Maybe they would.
No, they all walk.
They do.
I see it.
They
walk because they're very fit. The thing about this is,
it's a fit priest on the steps. Yes,
this you're not. You know what that sign tells me? That sign, Rob, tells me that the what they're not doing is they're not addressing the real problem here.
What's the problem, Bill? On the factor.
Problem.
No spin.
I've ridden a lot of elevators. I mean, a lot of buildings in New York City. Lots of 40 floors doesn't matter.
Sure.
The problem is the speed. It's the speed of the elevator that is not going up to the top.
Can I introduce you real quick? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Bill O'Reilly.
All right. Now look. Okay, welcome to the factor, the elevator factor here.
Elevator factor.
Wisconsin Avenue, Washington, D.C. Got a Starbucks. You know, you'd think with the Starbucks in the building, they'd be able to throw for a few shekels to the elevator, but not enough. So what's the cop-out? The cop out here, and really now look, I'm looking out for you. Okay, I'm looking out for you. The fact is, you're not going to solve a problem if you're putting up a little piece of paper that says "send the elevator" with its 12-minute journey back down to the first floor. You're going to solve the problem by taking this elevator and retooling it so it goes a little faster.
What if we put in an escalator, Bill?
What?
Can we put in an escalator, Bill? Would that solve it?
No. Let's not. Look, you know, I'm trying to be realistic, Spiewak. What I'm doing, Spiewak, is that I'm trying to be. And
call
Bloom,
me Rob,
you know,
please.
Bloom, if you want to laugh along with him, you're not. You know, you're ignoring the problem here, and you know, with proper diligence. With the elevator, you get a guy out, a repair guy, goes down to the mechanism, it's in the basement, and you know, works on it a little bit, gets it done, and then your elevator goes up to the fourth floor, comes back down quickly, and nobody's, no fuss, no muss. Now, what I'm curious about is, and where you have to, look, follow the money is the way you're going to get to the bottom of this
deep throat?
Problem. Yeah, you're going to follow, look, it's only four floors, it's a cheap, rickety elevator, makes a dinging sound, it's really terrible, it's lame, it's horrible, and the fact is, I don't think... This is a selfish old lady that lives on the first floor. What I think this is, is management, ownership of the building.
Oh, the actual
trying to compensate.
Building owner, yeah.
Big building. Well,
yeah, it's big building.
No. Listen, it's big building. You call it whatever you want. But the thing is, big building is compensating for the fact that the elevator doesn't work very well.
You know Bill? No one on the first floor is going to be held accountable in this because why would they need the elevator? Mm-hmm. They're already there.
You want to look to your fourth and your first floors, okay? You want to look at your top floor. And you want to look to your bottom floor.
I think this is a third floor
issue.
It's got
third all over.
It's big three.
You got third all. Now who lives on the third floor? I don't spend enough time in the building. You know,
the escape room.
The escape room's in the basement.
No. There's another one. They just got another one in this
escape
building.
Room?
Adrian, run down to the third floor and tell us the client. See if the doors are marked.
Mm-hmm. We'll do. Now also record the sound of the elevator bell as well.
Good.
That's a very. Now there's a young man. Showing initiative, and that's why, I think...
Would you have him on the factor,
Bill?
Would you have him on the factor?
As a regular contributor, we like to vet.
He's got to be vetted?
Yeah, he has to be vetted. We'll see. You know, I mean, as far as an occasional guest representing his community...
You know who he could be? He could be a regular on Political Persuasions.
You know, that'd be fine. Look at O'Mara's studio. What is that? Is that the 1920?
Oh, yeah, you insulted us.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I insulted you. But, incidentally, the reason I like stairs as opposed to your elevator is because stairs happen right away. We'll walk the stairs.
They're
and we'll
immediate.
Do it live. Yeah. We'll do it live. All right? We'll walk the stairs. We'll do it live.
So that's the issue. That's what's going on with our elevator, and it couldn't be any more selfish. That's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Did he leave?
I guess he left.
I didn't hear him come in. So that means that
no, you didn't hear him come in. He came in through the bathroom window.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world,
Columbo.
Oh. Hi, Mr. Franklin.
All right, now what are you doing here?
Well, I'm waiting for you. I happen to be in the neighborhood.
Well, you're always in the neighborhood. And you tell me what right you've got to keep those movers out of this office?
Oh, listen, I'm sorry about that. It's just, you know what I thought? I thought you and I should talk alone.
You and I have nothing to talk about.
Yes, we do, Mr. Franklin. I'm here to arrest you for the murder of your partner.
What?
Now, it's my duty to inform you of your constitutional rights.
Oh, you cut that drivel. I've written that stuff so many times, I know it by heart. And what is this nonsense? You're going to arrest me. Do you want to give me a dime first so I can phone my attorney? Because I promise you I'm going to sue you and your department for false arrest and defamation of character.
I kind of knew it right from the start. It was nothing definite. It was a lot of little things. Driving back from San Diego on the day of the murder instead of taking a plane. The open mail. Never showing any genuine emotion for a man that you worked with for 10 years.
With that, you know what they're going to do? They're going to laugh you right out of court.
They're not going to laugh at the insurance policy, are they? I've got a photostatic copy of it here in my pocket. They're going to laugh at the fact that you withdrew $15,000, put it back the next day?
You expect to get a true bill of indictment on that trivia? Come on, Lieutenant. I was down in San Diego.
So was your partner. And his wife told me how conscientious he was. You know, the way he used to write down his ideas on every odd scrap of paper, backs of matches, whatever.
So that's why you wouldn't let the movers in.
Well, I had to rummage around here before they emptied everything out.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
There we are. That's a little mellow acting, isn't it? Really,
Mike, really he acting. Was found guilty. He killed his partner.
Mm. Yeah, drove back from San Diego. Coming to you live from the Cabby Fiverr studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. On the air and online worldwide, the Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. This is Mellow Jack, and if you're here, you do too. Hello.
Hi, Jack.
Jack Cassidy here. We're just bringing out the impressions left and right. Let me tell you about Headspace.
Oh, yes.
Let's be honest. Most of your problems start with your mind, don't they? Yes. Whether it's fear, mm-hmm. anger, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness. I've had them all. They all begin in your head. And they slowly wreck your life. They do. I have to be honest with you. It doesn't have to be that way. You can make a major difference in just 10 minutes a day. Hear me out. It's guided meditation with the new Headspace app. Headspace is meditation made simple. It's like basically going to a gym and working out your brain.
Of course.
Only it's in your mind. It's guided meditations that you listen to. You do it whenever you want, wherever you want. I like to do it in my lawn chair. Right on your phone, tablet, or computer. Meditation is rooted in thousands of years of tradition. It's been around for a while.
Oh, he's getting worked up now.
It helps you with improved focus, relationship harmony, not to mention decreased anxiety and lowered stress. It's one of the reasons I was able to finally communicate with Marty Ingalls. Join over 5 million users already getting some Headspace for free right now. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/TMOS. The Headspace Take 10 program, a 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy modern life. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Start your free trial today at headspace.com/TMOS. That's headspace.com/TMOS and get some Headspace today. I'll make my way out now. So
Thank
long,
you.
Boys. Bye-bye.
John Jack Cassidy.
I didn't hear him come in.
No, he came in during the open.
Oh, okay. Through the bathroom window?
No. If that happened, they would have seen Bill O'Reilly.
That's right. It's a lot of asses going out that window today. That's all I know. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Happy to have you here. And somebody's making a fuss about our rickety, horrible elevator. I've been on a ton. It seems like in my career, I've been on a ton of crappy elevators.
You know, we had a bad one at WJFK. I got stuck on it once. Deborah Dean was stuck on it once.
Oh, it was two floors.
Boy. Yeah, two floors.
Yeah. Yeah, but we were lazy.
Yes.
You have to understand. Laziness abounded. The vast majority of DJ's pony would take the elevator.
Of course.
That's the way that would always work. And, it made you feel like you really worked in the city.
That's
yeah,
true.
It
you
know, did.
That's
the
true.
City of Fairfax.
You park your car, walk into that little airlock area, and then come up in the elevator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, there was a time your office started on the first floor, but then you did move to the second floor.
Yes.
So you needed that elevator for the two-floor journey.
Well, it was a three-story building, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, no. There was two floors and the underground
garage.
Parking.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was just two floors above. Mm-hmm. So it was the first one. And we were... Oh, that's right. Our offices moved to the top floor for a while.
Right.
Then we all moved back down, right?
Because exactly.
Because we didn't want to pop for all the office space. You would say that our offices on the second floor coincided with the glory days of WJFK when the station was making money hand over fist.
I do believe so, yeah.
And they needed more room... to get, or was there another business on the first floor?
No, there was never a business on the first floor. We expanded a little bit. I remember
we went to the second floor, and they had a business on the first floor that they blew out of there, and then they moved us down, so we had the whole operation on the first floor. And
but
we shared
the top floor with Bob Raspberry. What was Bob Skin?
Bob Skin, who had the mortgage business,
right, and the leaky fountain,
and also was a was a man with a very interesting way of talking because he was he sounded how do I put this delicately?
Fay.
That's not delicate.
No, that's more delicate than other words.
No, that's not delicate. That's a 1930s term that's very derogatory.
It's not derogatory at all.
Yeah, look it up. Look it up online.
I will.
Tell me what it means online.
Go to dictionary.com.
You know what? I don't have to explain what he sounded like. I can just do the impression.
You can do the voice,
yeah. Because when he put the shrubs out front, the curlicue shrubs, he was talking about the fact that he's got these lovely shrubs out front. And then he liked to play golf with yours truly. Seth, would you like to come out sometime and play golf?
And then
Rob remembers a time when he was going to the Redskins game. And he said, how are your seats? He says, they're wonderful. They're in the sun.
Okay, definition of fey, I believe I actually got wrong. And by the way, it has nothing to do with the lady on 30 Rock. It says,
right.
Fey, adjective, pronounced fey. It's chiefly Scottish, meaning doomed or fated to die, marked by a foreboding of death or calamity.
Right.
That's the Scottish definition.
Well, let's just not worry about characterizing Bob Skin.
Okay. But Mike, was he able to see into the future, or was he marked by an otherworldly air or attitude?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't.
No, he just
was he excessively
different.
Refined?
And he didn't sound different. He just sounded unusual. He had an unusual way of speaking.
Yes.
And it was always kind of, he loved the show.
He did.
And then one day, I was doing this impression of him for months on end and making everyone laugh in the hallways, and then I finally decided to go public with it. And when I went public with it, he loved it.
He did.
He absolutely got a kick. His kids listened to the show.
Mm-hmm.
They got a kick.
The little Skins.
I ultimately had to do what I loathe and what many impressionists loathe.
What's that?
Doing the impression for the man himself. Like
right.
That guy that did George Bush at the Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah. You know what that guy's name is?
He's dead, isn't he?
I think he may have passed. His name was Steve Bridges.
Was it really?
Yeah, I always found that very entertaining.
I would dread the pressure of standing next to the person. I'm not a physical impressionist anyway, and that guy had a lot of makeup on. But I would dread doing that even for W. It would just, to me, it would be creepy. And so when you made me do it in front of him like this, it was always... Now, if it's somebody that I know that I'm busting chops on, I can do an impression of them.
All day.
And that's fun too, you know? So I try that. Some people like it, some people hate it, and you know it right away.
Mike, on the third floor of our building, we have the Institute for Governance and Sustainable Development and Madison Investments.
Okay, I'm going to tell you this, Rob. That, to me... is a sign that's been put up by management.
Management of the building?
Yes. Who would else? You're compensating for the overall
lack of performance
and lack of performance of the building. So what do you do? What's the issue? The issue at hand is this. People don't want to wait to get to work to go to the third or fourth floor.
I know,
Because that elevator takes so long to come down. How many times have you pressed that button and it's at the top floor and you say to yourself, oh, God.
Well, it's always on the top floor.
By the way, that's kind of, I feel like that might be directed at us.
You think?
Yeah, but I mean, I've never been in an elevator where I press the one button and jump out before it goes back down to the floor.
Now, you know
what?
I have done it. As a matter of fact, I did it today because I know that Pony was right behind me. Mm-hmm. When you got in, was the elevator
Adrian,
on the first floor?
Did Adrian come back in yet?
Yes, he's here.
Adrian, you're here. You went in and saw that that sign on the elevator.
I did, yeah.
Go out and grab it. Rip it down and bring it back in here.
I will.
We're not violating anything by doing that.
No.
Does the sign say the management?
No, no.
Actually, go get it.
I bet you it's Ball Guy.
What's that?
Next door. The Ball Guy.
No, it's not.
I bet it is.
No, it's not.
I see him take the elevator every time.
Of course. Go ahead.
Well, doesn't he run the building?
No.
The building is
owned by another guy. We sublet from him and he rents this space.
Mm-hmm. So the guy that owns the building never spends time in the building?
I've never seen the guy. Mm-hmm. I've never seen our owner. I don't know who it is.
All right. Well, I think really in this particular circumstance, this is someone maybe that's in the building. They have absolutely no right. We're tenants. We have as much right to take it down as they do to put it up.
So, you know what? Mm-hmm. What if we put
Adrian,
up a sign?
I like fearless Adrian, though. Yeah. Just like, not even his. How long would it take Mac to decide to get up from his chair after that little task was given, right?
What if we put up a sign that said, for your convenience, please remember to return the elevator to the fourth floor?
Oh, please do that. You will make my day if you do that. That would be that, you know. And incidentally, and underneath that, for your convenience, please return the elevator after use. Please return the elevator to the fourth floor where it belongs. Please. And you know what's funny about that?
What?
It doesn't really affect us at all. Sign in itself affects us as adversely as anybody else.
Nobody.
I want to see what the sign looks like.
All right. Well, actually, I texted you a picture of it just now.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, okay. So it'll be there in just a second.
Well, but it's more fun for Adrian to go into the
elevator. Well, of course, and that's also proactive.
Right.
But the fun, it really struck me as just pure selfishness.
It's super douchey. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah. Because the problem is, you know what? It wouldn't be as bad if it just said, please remember, or please return the elevator to the first floor.
Yeah.
First of all, by saying remember, it's implying that it's something that should have been done all along.
Yeah, like it's a normal thing.
A normal
thing. Let me ask you this, because I don't know the nuts and bolts of the elevator, because I'm not there. In order to do this successfully, correct me if I'm wrong,
right?
You will need to, you can't get out of the elevator and press down, can you?
No, but what you can do is
there's only one button.
This is what happened today. I got on the elevator, which when I got on was on the fourth floor, which it always is.
Did you adhere to the sign? Did you?
Well, I did, but only because.
Of course you did.
No, well, it had nothing to do with the sign. Because here's what happened. I saw Pony parking as I was on my way in. I knew he was about a minute behind me. And I thought, wouldn't it be a nice gesture if the elevator was on the first floor for my buddy Matt? You got it? Show it to Mike on the camera.
Let's see.
Good job.
You know, it's such a small building.
It is.
It's such a small building. You know what? I don't. No. Hold on, Adrian. This is. We're not going to leave it at that. We're not going to keep it. I think we need to modify it.
Is it laminated?
I think we need to modify it with our own. How? And I don't want to say, you know, BLO me.
No.
I don't want to do that. But
how about just why? WHY question mark.
Why?
Yeah.
All right. Who's got the best penmanship?
Right? I do.
Why? Rob, you probably do. Right? Why in capital letters underneath that with a question mark and just put it back on the elevator? Okay.
Or just a bunch of question marks like Riddler?
No, just one. One is fine.
I have a theory.
Yes.
Okay. What's your theory?
Show that to Mike. Make sure that it's up to snuff.
Is there a possibility this could be like a third party, like a rogue party, like a FedEx?
Outside of the management?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? If it is, because we get a lot of deliveries in the building.
And I've seen the person who works for FedEx and comes to this building. They're not in the best shape.
Really?
That's what it looks like now.
It's like a female Rob.
Yeah, go ahead. Put it back in. Put it back in the elevator.
You may need to borrow some tape from the people we share space with.
Oh, but don't let them know why you're borrowing the tape.
Right, yeah.
I think it's ball
guy. Keep this a secret mission.
Be stealthy. You think
it's him? He sits on a big ball.
Stop it. Just saying. Stop it.
It's weird.
Oscar would probably be going nuts right now because we are doing this. And, he's got the relationship with the people in the building. But I'm curious. I'd love to get somebody else's. We can wait. We can let this one percolate.
Because yeah, sure.
We can let it sit by. But why is is not offensive?
No,
it's not obscene.
We're just curious.
It's perfectly acceptable. I think that works.
And again, it's implying that something that is out of the ordinary should be ordinary, and also for your convenience couldn't be any further off base, because it's not for anyone's convenience except for the person who's not on the elevator.
What? Let me ask one last question about this. So the question is, in order to send that back down to the first floor, can you step off the elevator and hit the button and it'll go down?
Mike, or you better step off.
You gotta reach.
Do you have to do the little dance of holding the door and hitting one?
By the time you get on the elevator and you hit four and it's on the slow trip to the top of the building,
the nine-hour trip.
Yeah, you can hit one at that time. And you can get off, and by the time the door shut, it'll head back down to one.
But are you not? And here's the question.
Yeah.
Are you not? Technically, you answered my question, and you answered it in a favorable way, for it's not convenient to do this.
That's what I'm saying. Fact is, no, I said it's the only person it's convenient for is someone who's not on the elevator. So why?
So what I'm saying is when you get up to you have to hit the one button once the elevator gets to the top.
Right, exactly.
And if you do that, you are causing the doors to close perhaps sooner. If you had a box of filing papers, that it would be going to O'Reilly again. I've got to stop that. Got to stop that going. So it is. I mean, you can't do it without.
No.
Hustling off the elevator before you get your circumcision by door. That's what I'm saying. That's the point I'm trying to make.
The four-floor bris.
Although the circumcision by the doors on that elevator would be very, very slow.
Exactly. The kid would be 3 years old by the time.
I spend so little time in that building compared to you guys, but the fact is, I remember that elevator because I've been on that.
It's a hateful elevator.
Mm-hmm. It's a terrible elevator. So
musty.
What is the possibility? Now, I don't know anything about elevator law or big elevators.
Well, we'd have to talk to Otis.
Yeah. Otis. Hi, Andy. Leave the jail door open. Now I'm making a reference to the 1960s. Because my question would be for the management of the building, is there any way that you can improve the speed of that elevator? And probably the answer is they're calibrated for a certain reason.
Well, I know I know that the building has to predate elevators because it's a turn of the century building. So it's an aftermarket elevator, Mike.
If you put an elevator in our building that went the speed of 30 Rock, it would shoot out like Willy Wonka out the top of the old building and say, "Come on, Charlie. Charlie, let's go fizzy lifting drinks. Let's go float all over the city."
Only that, we'd all have flat heads.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that was a good one. How you doing? I cut my forehead again. All right.
But I'm on time.
Yes, absolutely. We'll take a break. When we come back, Rob has the celebrity death chart that I want to talk about. And more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
Time to download the TMOS app. It's the easiest way to have access to all your favorite shows and characters on More Broadcasting, like Oscar Santana.
We don't need no stinking podcast. Oh, no.
Rob Spiewak.
No, got a plan, dang, Roman. The show is a...
The man himself, Mike O'Mara.
We've got to protect our phony baloney job, gentlemen. We must do something about this immediately.
I didn't get a harump out of that guy.
How about Todd Moore?
Little bastard shot me in the ass.
Tony Perkins.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Oh, my God.
And let's not forget Gary Stein.
It is my privilege to extend to you a laurel and hearty handshake.
So why haven't you downloaded the TMOS app yet? You do it for Randolph Scott.
Randolph Scott.
Marcus outdoing himself.
Boy, Marcus Serta. We got to get Marcus Serta on the show.
No.
I said
no.
It. Yeah, I said
no.
It. Yeah, we have to get Marcus Serta on the
show. Okay, but he has to be in studio.
Okay, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, we've been telling you about ZipRecruiter.com. Hiring the best people is not easy. Posting your job in one place isn't easy either. And it is not enough to find the top quality candidates. You need an edge. You need ZipRecruiter.com. Let me tell you about ZipRecruiter.com. It allows you to post all your jobs on all the top job sites and do it at once. Imagine posting your job to over 100 job sites, including social media like Facebook and Twitter, with one single click. You can find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. You got to cast the wide net, and yes, ZipRecruiter.com lets you do that. Forget about juggling emails and calls to your office. All you have to do with one post, and all the quality candidates roll into the ZipRecruiter.com easy-to-use interface. Then you just screen them, you rate them, and you hire the right person fast. It makes it easy to find the best. ZipRecruiter.com has been used by over 800,000 businesses. You don't have a track record like that unless you're doing the right thing. You can try it right now absolutely free. That's right. Try ZipRecruiter today, and it's free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Try it for free right now.
Good time to do it. No time like the present. Make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS.
Hey, Adrian, plug into the auxiliary plug over there. We have a recording of the elevator bell before we, as we say, put a ribbon on this whole thing.
Adrian's showing tremendous initiative, by the way.
He is.
To do this. Just so you know, we don't exaggerate on the Mike O'Mara Show. This is the ding to indicate that the elevator has arrived at each floor.
Right.
And
he's playing it right now. Hold on. Stand by.
See what happens. Modern technology.
He recorded on his telephone.
Mm-hmm.
His telephone.
An iTelephone.
Moments ago.
He's definitely, Mike, lots of initiative.
All right, that didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Why didn't it work?
Do you have it set to headphone? There you go.
All right, let's listen to it. That sounded actually pretty good. So maybe we do exaggerate.
No.
It makes that noise, too.
Did you just record one?
Yeah, just one.
I actually want to go back because
you have it in your instant replay, don't you?
Yeah, I actually have I recorded it and put it in mine.
I remember now.
Now I remember doing
it. It's only when it clicks on floor three, all right? let me play that for you right now.
Right. Yeah, see, that's not a very good bell at all.
No.
No. I don't care for it. Not one bit. No, sir.
Menswear. Furniture. Toddlers.
And, Mike, you've solved it. What we need is, when we revamp the elevator, we need an elevator operator.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that's in there and says, fourth floor, more broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. With a uniform.
Exactly.
With a uniform.
And a little square hat.
I have a question for you, Rob. Do you still have the Masters music handy, by any chance?
As a matter of fact,
floating around?
I do.
This is the comment. Not that I'm watching too much. By the way, there is no golf tournament that has more television coverage than the Masters.
Yes.
And I lap it up. The reason they've done this is because they realize there are guys like me out there that will watch.
There's an audience for it. Yeah.
Every hole and watch this. And I think ESPN had the coverage. I'm not sure. Does CBS have it on the weekend still? CBS will have it
for perpetuity.
They will.
I believe so. Because
you sure?
That's how Jim Nantz is going to do his 50th Masters.
Pony, are you able to look up what network has the Masters mm-hmm. telecast? Because ESPN, Rob, has the coverage that I watched yesterday because it was Tirico and Curtis Strange.
That's weird.
There, which
that's
might
weird
indicate to me
ABC.
That they handed it off to ABC.
Or maybe it's like the Super Bowl where they share it.
No, I think that it might be if ESPN has the weekly coverage and CBS has the weekend, but I'm not sure. I think there's been some shuffling going, but we'll find out what's happening. No, they did the profile on Jim Nantz. He wouldn't have done that and talked about it unless it was...
Well, I know that Nantz will cover it, naturally,
right.
But I thought that CBS had some sort of, like, secret handshake with...
Carla walks through the living room as I was in my probably third hour.
Right.
And she says, next year I'm taking a vacation. I said, well, you're taking a vacation this time next year? Why? She said, when the Masters is on TV, I want to leave the house.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so I think the TV. Do you have it yet, Tony?
Yeah, I got it here. It looks like ESPN has the live TV coverage and CBS has featured groups. I'm guessing that's like...
That would be today, probably.
Okay.
It's tough to... It's tough to figure out. I'd like to know this from my own answer here because it gets a little...
Featured groups, could that be after the first two rounds and then they determine who has made the cut?
Let me look on my computer here. Who couples.
And is there a cut? The Masters has a cut, right? So they have a smaller field on Saturday and Sunday.
All right, hold on. All right, who covers?
Did you miss? Was that a typographical error?
I think you might be right about the weekends. It looks like CBS has it on the weekends.
CBS has it, and they share it because they sold it to both ABC and to CBS.
So that's how they managed to keep the price of the pimento cheese sandwiches so low.
Oh, by the way,
Augusta National.
Let me do this just for fun. If you're thinking about going to the Masters, let me put in Masters tickets under the guise of wanting to let's go to one of the ones that does not advertise on our show.
We'll excellent.
Go to StubHub and just see here because I think
that's Dennis Murphy's site, isn't it?
Okay. Mm-hmm. 2016 Masters Friday competition, 3 p.m. Augusta National. From the lowest ticket.
Yes.
From $2,175.
Oh. And that's for Friday.
That's for a Friday badge. That's for a Friday effing badge. Now, we complain about the 1% in this country and, you know, people not being able to do fun things anymore. The Masters, $2,000 to start. And that's here's a grounds pass for $1,995. $1,900.
Oh, I thought under $20. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Let me see. No, and they don't give any information on it either. So it's just
and
like,
remember,
okay,
Mike,
$2,000. Check out now. Thank you.
You're not spectators. You're patrons.
And that
there's
is
a whole list of rules of you have to of the things you have to say.
Yeah, but
when
that
you're
is
covering,
a
yeah.
badge. Uh-huh. That is a badge you get to walk the grounds on Friday alone. $2,000 to walk in there, and I know it's rarefied air out there, but you get to walk the grounds and see the Masters. Kind of ridiculous.
That's unreal. Yeah, unreal.
So let me just say this. Next year and every year afterwards, okay? Hi, everybody. This is Mike O'Mara. Are you somebody that breathes that rarefied air? It will be a cold day in hell that this boy will ever pay that kind of money for a ticket, but I'm a lot of fun.
You are.
I'm a lot of fun, and if you'd like to walk the grounds with me, even at a practice round, I would make the drive up from Fort Myers to... Because you know what, Rob? I was saying to my wife... I love the tournament so much as a golf fan, as a golfer, that I really would love to see it before I die. It is on my bucket list.
Understood.
So that's what I wanted to do. I just was curious.
And you know, you don't need to join the club. I think
a little worried about the club. You mean Augusta?
Yeah.
Augusta National?
Because I think if you join Augusta, you get to go for free, don't you? So
let me just
ends
go
up
right
paying
to the
for
top.
Itself.
Condi Rice, Mike O'Mara here. I know you're a big fan of the show when you're in town. Condi, I know you're a member there, and you're one of the few women members at Augusta. If you'd like to have a little, man competition on the weekend.
Hey.
Or man companionship, I'll be there for that. Is that not insane? I know you don't. Can you imagine? I mean, you want to go out and you want to watch Friday and walk around. And pay for the sandwiches.
Mind-boggling.
They have there.
Mind-boggling.
$2,000. $2,000.
If you get to go with Condoleezza Rice, do you think she'll wear the green jacket but nothing underneath it?
I hope so.
Now you blew it. You blew it for me. There was
did I or did I cement it?
No, but really, when you think about something like this, that's just... There's no other golf tournament that approaches this.
Not even the Kemper?
The Kemper. God. It's like 25 years ago.
It was the only one that was local. It was
you boys, I know you don't care about the sports like
I do. I will watch the Masters. The Masters is one of the most beautiful broadcasts year in, year out. Because
of
the high def and everything. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
It's, you know, and things are nice down there. It's springtime. Very scenic, very picturesque.
A little chilly this weekend. A little wind, Rob.
They're going to have to allow that on their long shots, Mike. They're going to have to allow for the
wind.
Into the wind.
Yes, just like me after I drive up to Hilton Head. I'll be in the wind, gymnast. Oh, I don't want to tip our hand. But anyway, that was yesterday's show. So that's how expensive it is.
We don't want to reveal what we've already done, Mike.
No, you know, I look at things like this and I just realize that things slowly but surely are being, the common man is being
priced
totally
out.
Edged out of
priced
professional
out.
Sports
mm-hmm.
and to go to the event. I mean, now, you know, I mean, it's 100 and some, I forgot, I was reading online what it costs to take the average family of four to a baseball game.
You need a mortgage.
And it's truly prohibitive.
Trip
Affleck just sent me something. I don't know. He lives around there, doesn't he? Doesn't he live in Georgia?
He does live in Georgia. Is Savannah close to Atlanta? I'm sorry, is Augusta close to Atlanta? Or is
it's
closer
in
like
Georgia.
Savannah?
That's all I know. It's in the middle eastern part of the state of Georgia. I think it's
probably close to Atlanta.
It's I don't know exactly where. It would be probably due east of Atlanta,
okay,
and north of Savannah.
All right.
That's where it would be. You know.
So you
by
could,
the way,
you
Dan Von
the
Herman, there's a guy that could pop for those tickets. Hey, Dan, Daniel, how about you know, you and I when you get out?
Damn,
when get
to, Daniel.
When you get those horrible medical conditions taken care of, why don't you roll up to you know, to Augusta, and we'll go. You know, that'd be lovely.
Adrian has raised his hand. Do we want to roll the dice?
Adrian, you're participating way too much in this show, but I'll allow it simply because I like the good work you did with the elevator.
Oh, Mike, if you say that, I think you should say it like every judge does in every television show. I'll allow it, but watch yourself.
All right, I'll allow it, Mr.
Prosecutor.
Mr. Adrian, but go ahead.
Just a quick question. What do you do at a golf game? Do you just sit in the stands?
At a golf game,
first
Mike.
Of all, it's a tournament, you nab.
Okay.
It's not a game. It's not at a golf game. It's not like effing ping pong, okay?
It's a tournament.
What do you do at a golf game? Adrian, do you follow sports? Or
I
are
do.
You, are you, what kind of sports do you watch on television?
Yeah, the sport football. Of marijuana. Mm-hmm.
What do you watch?
I don't think that's a sport. Football, and that's pretty much it. I watch some soccer.
Adrian, another little broadcasting piece of tip. Rob Spiewak is one of the most notorious last word people known to mankind. If you try to last word Rob Spiewak, it will cause the right lobe of my brain to jut out through my right temple and cause brain matter to get all over the wall here. So please don't do that again. Getting back to what you watch, what do you watch on sports?
Football, baseball.
Thank you. Okay.
When you say football,
yeah.
Do you mean soccer?
No, that's football.
Football.
I'm just trying to, you know, take into account his
heritage.
So
you've never watched golf on television?
I've watched it. I mean, I play golf.
It's called a tournament and not a game.
Well, I've never been. I drive the golf ball. That's all I do. I can't do anything else.
Okay, so you go to the driving range? Is that what you do? Can you turn his microphone off? I'm tired of talking to him.
Can I throw it in the trash? Much. You bet I can.
So it's too expensive. That's the only point that I wanted to make. So, yeah, you know, this would be the probably the earliest I've ever solicited for a freebie. You know, I'd love to be. And incidentally, you can use me like a toilet. If I'm in your tent, I will do every impression that I've ever done.
Okay, so you were speaking figuratively.
No, you know what? I take that back. That'll change in 2 days.
Can't you see
a year?
You getting down to Butler Cabin with some guy and say, "Go on, do Gene Sarazen's voice."
Nah, not gonna happen. But I'd sure love to be part of some big corporate group. Anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate that. We'll take a break. Do you want to do the internet bucket list, or do you want to do the other thing that you wanted about the? What is it? What's the thing I was going
to... Well, I'd like to just touch on the essay. The Costco essay.
That's what you seem to be hot to try. Yeah. Rob has a Costco essay from an Ivy League student.
And the thing is, she used it to get into her college applications. And I'll read you some of it. I think it's garbage. This really? Essay that everyone loves. Yeah, I'll read it to you. You'll see.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Got somebody to lean on. Put your body next to mine and dream on. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I want to talk about money.
Money.
The truth is that sometimes honest, hardworking folks need a little extra, and banks don't always make it fast or easy. I'll tell you who does. Avant, finally, a company that gets it. Sometimes average folks like you and me, you just need a little extra money. Something comes up where there's a project around the house you want to do. Might be a car that you want to put a down payment on. Might be a home repair. You don't have the cash available. Avant to the rescue. Avant provides access to unsecured personal loans from $1,000 to $35,000, and they never have to make you set foot in a bank. That's it.
Yeah,
don't have to do that. Simply go to avantoffer.com, check your competitive rate. Checking your rate is risk-free with no effect on your FICO score. Complete your application in minutes, literally minutes, and the funds could be in your account as soon as tomorrow. They let you know right away. That's what I love about this website. See how easy and convenient borrowing is through avantoffer.com. Avant will give you a $50 Amazon gift card after you make your first payment on time. For this offer and to check your rate risk-free, go to avantoffer.com and enter the promo code TMOS. That's AVANTOffer.com. Promo code TMOS, avantoffer.com, and TMOS. Loans made by Web Bank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery the next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time on Monday through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. I'll start again.
Please.
FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details. Can we perhaps record that?
Of course.
and put that on at the end like I wanted to originally.
You bet.
Instead of reading it live. I mean, I think I fancy myself as a skilled pitchman, but let me just say that you know, reading that is a bit of a task.
I understand. We'll do it. Her name, Mike, is Brittany Stinson. She is.
What is the background of this? That she? Why is this getting so much?
This
buzz
is getting online? A lot of play because she, like many overachieving children, has been accepted to Yale, Columbia, the University of Pennsylvania, Dartmouth, Cornell, and Stanford. And the reason, I mean, that's pretty impressive, right there.
Harvard did not want her. Is that right? Harvard did not want to jump on that little Ivy League bandwagon.
Doesn't say if she applied to Harvard or not, but right. Maybe she wanted to save the $30. But she's an only child. And she wrote her essay about Costco. And everyone went crazy about it. To me, this was written, it sounds like someone trying to sound like someone who's trying to write a college essay. I thought it was way overrated. Now, it was a long time ago for me and longer for you. Do you remember writing your college essays? It's a hassle.
No.
It's the worst.
I went to American University. My college essays were multiple choice.
At VCU.
By the way, all right, I'm going to kick it over to Adrian once again. Adrian, the Ivy League. Let's go over to Adrian. Is his mic open again?
Yes.
Yes.
Adrian, here's the question for you. Name the 8 institutions in the Ivy League. Go right now.
Yale.
No waiting.
Yale. Harvard. Brown. That's it. That's all I know.
Yeah, Brown. It's the first one that pops to mind for
there,
me, too.
There are two, in my opinion, that are problematic that you don't think of right away when you think of the
Cambridge?
Adelaide. Cambridge is not accurate.
That's because that's in Great
Harvard
Britain.
Harvard is in Cambridge.
Okay.
Harvard is
Princeton.
In Cambridge, Massachusetts. Princeton, that's correct.
Oh, George Mason.
Way to go, Rob. Absolutely. They are Brown University, Columbia University, Cornell University, Dartmouth, Harvard, the University of Pennsylvania, where you've spent some time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Princeton and Yale. So I never thought of the University of Pennsylvania as considered Ivy League.
Huh.
But it is. It is Ivy League. There it is.
Good school.
That's the 8. All right, go ahead.
So she has written her essay about Costco, and I'm going to read you some of it. And it just sounds to me like she's trying too hard and trying to make herself seem like I'm amazing. And I guess that's what a college essay is about.
This is getting buzzed because people liked it or because it was Costco.
Both,
or,
I think.
But it's not. They're not reacting like you are because you're kind of a quirky lad.
Right.
And you're reacting to this because she pisses you off.
She does piss me off because I think she's thinking too much.
Rob has an agenda. When he came in today, I said, you know, Rob did a little stuff for the bonus show that we didn't get to, and Rob is pretty hot to trot to get to this, so I'm curious. Mm-hmm. This will be the ABCs of Rob, I think, when we get into this.
While enjoying an obligatory hot dog, I did not find myself thinking about the all-beef goodness that Costco boasted. I instead considered finitudes and infinitudes. Unimagined uses for tubs of sour cream, the projectile motion of said tub when launched from an 80-foot shelf, or maybe when pushed from a speedy cart by a scrawny 17-year-old. I contemplated the philosophical. If there exists a 33-ounce jar of Nutella, do we really have free will?
All right, so she's using a lot of $1.50 words to talk about the fact that Costco sells things in bulk.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
We get it. Okay, I'm with you so far. She's pissing me off a little bit.
I experienced a harsh physics lesson while observing a shopper who had no evident familiarity of inertia's workings. With a cart filled to overflowing, she made her way toward the sloped exit, continuing to push and push.
Now, slow down because I need to translate this. So she observes a person that has an overfilled cart that is struggling with it because of the... We're already on the second part of the large bulk items that one gets at Costco. I get it.
She pushed and pushed while steadily losing control until the cart escaped her and went crashing into a concrete column, 52-inch plasma screen TV and all. Purchasing the Yuletide hickory smoked ham inevitably led to a conversation between my father and me about Andrew Jackson's controversialness. There was no questioning old hickory's dedication.
Oh, God, shut up. All right, now the fact is, and I cry BS.
Of course.
I cry BS. I don't think somebody would. Look, I've seen overstuffed carts at Costco. I don't think you're going to smash into a concrete abutment with a flat screen TV.
No.
I don't buy it.
You don't lose control.
I don't
control.
Buy it at all. I think she's full of crap.
There was no questioning old Hickory's dedication. He was steadfast. You know, I sold this wrong. This is Jim Nance's college essay.
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, that's just true.
He was steadfast in his beliefs and pursuits, qualities I am compelled to admire, yet his morals were crooked. We both found the ham to be more likable.
When I told you I wanted to go with the bucket list for the internet, I probably should have gone with my initial.
All right, then let's go with it. But anyway, I just want to tell her to go to hell.
For the average person. Okay, thank you. You've succeeded in that.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. I'm just curious about the that's what we call in the business a miss. That's okay. We do. It's just, you know, it's
well, here's
she's trying. She is a well-educated young lady,
right,
who is trying to demonstrate to her professors that level of education. And unfortunately, the written word sometimes does not translate. My degree, to be perfectly honest, if I can talk about my education,
yes,
for a second, that I got from the word go. You were a communications major.
Yes, broadcast communications.
I was a broadcast journalism major.
Different.
One of the things that I learned, and they drummed into us, I don't think I've ever talked about this, was broadcast English as opposed to written English.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there are different rules for writing a newspaper article. There are different words for writing a novel. And then you get down to broadcast. And it's not that we're like, hey, those two highfalutin words.
No,
what it
right.
Is just communicating English. When someone writes like that, my point is, it's probably a lot easier to read than it is to broadcast.
Because that's pretentious.
You dove into that and had four words in the first 6 minutes that you could not really pronounce. It was difficult, was it not?
Horrible, horrible stuff. But the takeaway
for
me
on
it...
And you went to VCU and I went to American University. We're not qualified to read that on the air.
I'm telling the truth. The takeaway from it is, media, don't go ape-ass over something like that. It's no big deal.
What was the real reason they went ape?
Because her essay was about Costco and they thought that was quaint, I guess. But it's horribly written.
Yeah, it really was just pretentious.
Yeah.
It did not sound
smart. That's the word. Thank you very much.
Very
pretentious
good.
Is exactly what
it is. All right. I also have, Mike, this bucket list from the internet. A list of things.
And incidentally, she's not an Ivy League student. She was accepted based on that essay.
Exactly.
To get into. And I don't think I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think I probably had to write an essay to apply to colleges, but it was not that big a deal. It's a big deal in the, still a big deal in the Ivy League.
I think I think applications are harder now than when we did them. I think they're more intense and there's more stuff required, AP testing and all that stuff. It's called the Internet Bucket List, and it's not necessarily a list of things that you want to do before you die, but a list of things, have you done these? And we can run down this, Pony, I'd like you to play along too. Have you ever, Mike, fired a gun?
Yes.
I have?
No.
Right. You've never fired a gun?
Nope.
Okay, cool.
With your association with that other show, you have never fired a gun ever?
I have not.
Wow.
Have you had the opportunity that you have declined?
No.
Really?
Okay. Seriously.
Would you?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Okay, that makes me feel uncomfortable.
As much as my politics skew towards, you know, I think that it's dangerous to have guns in the house and all that kind of stuff, I've done it at a range, and, you know, when you say, well, under a supervised situation, it's okay. I remember the one time with my neighbors at remember the Willow Lake apartments that we went to, Rob?
Sure I do. The whole place was a gun range.
The two kids that were next door, the two kids that were next door to me, asked me one time to come out if I'd like to go shooting with them at the range, and I will never forget. They put a 38 in the little bay where you shoot at the target,
and
showed me, you know, the little workings of it. It's pretty straightforward. It's a revolver, not a lot of complexity there. And what I did was, and I'll have to show you this on the monitor. I raised my hands as though I was going to do the Dirty Harry where I put it down like that. That's where you kind of put it up like that. And so I went to make that move. And when I made that move, I put it up in the air and I went,
oh,
and
I
am absolutely telling the truth. I shot a round up into the ceiling. I put a round up into the ceiling of the shooting.
You are such a jerk.
It was fun. It was fun. No, I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. Because that could have been the, you know, top of my head if I leaned over it. It was terrible.
I shot at the NRA range. Remember the NRA building in
Yes,
Fairfax?
John Pop brought you over there.
No, it was actually Johnny Midnight. Brad took me there. And I joined the NRA to be able to use the range. It was cheaper.
How many times did you roll out after Johnny Midnight brought you?
It was that one time. but I do remember this. A similar thing is most people in there were shooting, you know, pistols and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Brad had a pistol-handled shotgun. So if you can imagine...
Does Brad like have stuff in his walls and stuff like that? I mean, if you happen to...
Brad has a gun safe. He does.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's an enthusiast.
If you try to steal his Camaro, you're going to get filled
with lead. Oh, yes. And the amazing thing is he will never shoot the Camaro, only the person who steals it.
You know, I read his rants and raves on the online occasionally, and boy, I know he's your best bud. You know him better than I do, but you read some of that anger and some of that deep-seated anger, and mm-hmm. I worry about that. You know, he has a better relationship with his Camaro than any human beings.
He and I are very different.
Yes, yeah. I just could get a picture. Oh, the Redskins lost again, and I swear to God, somebody dented my Camaro. I'm so sick of this right now. I'm going to kill you. Hello. Who is it? My pizza's 20 minutes late. Get out of here.
So we were at the NRA range, and you go in, and you know, there's like booths, right? And you hear people firing guns, pah, pah, pah. Because you got the headphones on, the ear protections. Right. And then Brad takes out his pump-handled, pistol-handled shotgun, and it goes from pip, 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 to bah! And to a point where a room that's designed to absorb sound, it even echoed in the gun range. Wow. And so I'm standing behind his booth, and I look down the row, and as soon as he pulls that trigger, every head leans back and looks over. They said, "What would make such a horrible sound?"
Do they let you? Do they let you shoot machine guns there?
You know what? If I recall, you can rent a machine gun at the NRA. But you have to leave it on campus.
All right. I would. No, I won't. No, I'm not doing that. I'll get crap if I do that.
Hey, what if we killed two birds with one stone? What if you went shooting literally at the Masters?
There you go. That's right. Nice putt, Phil. Appreciate it.
Nick Faldo is down. Nick Faldo is down.
Wonderful.
All right. Second issue. We'll never get to all these. Have you ever been on a blind date?
Yes.
Really? Who set you up?
My sister's friends in New York.
Really?
You know, I swear to God, Rob and I did not rehearse this.
At all.
I do. There is a story behind it.
All right. Well, let's get to this item then.
The only one. This was the only one.
Now, when you say New York.
After my marriage. This was after my second marriage.
So this is the WNEW days.
This is.
That's why you were in New York.
No. I don't think so, because this was after, this may have been after, I don't remember clearly.
Okay, so you're between marriage two and three.
Okay, you know what, you can look up Annie Lennox, and she had an album out, and I would be, if you told me
the Walking on Broken Glass album?
Maybe. What year would that
be? That would have been about 93, can you check that for me, Pony? I think not 90, yeah, about 93, I think.
Okay, whatever it was, I don't want to get in trouble with like specific dates here.
That's fine.
It was, it was definitely after one of my marriages. I was
92.
Single at the time.
92 was close.
And I don't know if my, no, because my marriage, that wouldn't have been 2000, that wouldn't have been 1992.
A different album.
That would be early 2000s. That
okay.
Would be right around the, it was her real mellow, depressing album. It was a very depressing, so it was not, Walking on Broken Glass was years ahead of that.
Okay.
So this was, to suffice it to say, I went up there to see my sister in New Jersey.
Okay.
And we had a night out planned, and they were fixing me up with a friend of theirs.
Yes.
So we went into the city, and there was somebody I think that worked with my brother-in-law perhaps, or worked in the office, or was around them, and I got fixed up. And we went into the city, got a limo, ran around to restaurants,
look
and met
at
for
you.
Dinner, and let me just say that as blind dates go, for me, it was successful.
Hey.
It was successful for me in so much as my sister, my brother-in-law, and my niece were sitting at the breakfast table when I walked in the following day. And the only thing, I don't remember the name. I don't remember this woman's name. I remember this.
Do you remember her rate?
Stop that. Behave yourself.
That's a horrible joke. Pony, why did you write that?
I remember that Annie Lennox was on the, that we put a CD of Annie Lennox on. And these are two bucket list items.
You romantic old flush.
I had one blind date, and it was over. And listen, I was feeling pretty low about myself. Uh-huh. I had one blind date, and it was over. And it would have been summer, early summer of 2000, whichever year I separated, it would have been that.
Seems to me that would
because,
have
I mean,
been.
It was actually they were setting me up. That's how that they were actually saying, oh, you know, he's depressed. Let's bring him up.
I think it would have been that might have been the year 2000.
It no, I separated in 2001.
Then okay,
don't let me start thinking about it. It'll make me depressed.
All right,
so
we're not going to draw up a calendar. Yeah. Pony blind date.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Well, you know, seventh grade, but I mean, does that really count?
Well, how old were you?
And of course, he's still struggling with that to this very day.
And, so yeah, right now he would actually even date a blind person. He doesn't.
No, absolutely.
Are there any other good ones on the list that we didn't get to?
There's 8 billion of them here, but
okay, we need to revisit.
We're up against the clock, I'm afraid. Mike, have you ever flown in a helicopter?
No, and I don't think I ever will. I'd
really, you wouldn't?
Yeah,
I would. I don't know. I think a helicopter would feel safer than a plane.
Well, we'll book it for you next week. We got to take a break when we come back. It's news you may not need. The last one of the week on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back, everybody.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
We're live in the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios. This is me, Rob Spiewak. And now, look, I'm going to give you a tour of the studio. There's Matthew Bloom right there. Oh, he's squeezing his nipple.
Oh, oh gross.
That's because it's the bonus show. Wonder what it looks like outside of our studio?
Let's see that.
Oscar, let's look over here and show them out the window. Look at that f***ing parking deck.
I bet they don't like cussing on Facebook, Rob. On
Facebook how dare
Live.
You? How
I'm
dare
sorry.
You?
Oh, and Daniel Boatsman says, and my six-year-old just learned a new word.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show, because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Now you can subscribe for a full year of bonus, and you get full access to all of the 2016 bonus content, access to the entire bonus show anthology, and you will save over 25%. It's all waiting for you at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Look for the banner mark TMOS Bonus Packages. You know, when we speak to our bonus show subscriber listeners when we are doing the show, we talk about how P1 they are and how that they are the biggest supporters of the show. And to be perfectly honest with you, it's always something special each and every week on the Mike O'Mara Show Bonus Hour. Now, with our special feed creator, you can even access your content from iTunes or pretty much any other podcast app in town. It couldn't be easier. Whether you want to buy it, give it, or renew it, click that bonus banner and get her done. The TMOS bonus packages, we love them, you will love them, and order yours today.
News.
Paul Walker's daughter. This is kind of a sad situation.
Fast and the Furious guy?
Yeah, Fast and Furious. Meta Walker is her name. She has just been awarded $10.1 million after a settlement with Roger Rodas' estate. Rodas was killed along with Meadow's father in a 2013 car crash. And just today, her lawyer, Jeffrey Milam, released the following statement regarding the settlement decision. Here's the quote.
Okay.
The amount paid by the estate of Roger Rodas into a trust for Meadow Walker only covers a fraction of what her father would have earned as an international movie star had his life not tragically been cut short. The statement continues, through his estate, Mr. Rodas, the driver of the car, took partial responsibility for the crash. Kind of weird because he was killed too.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he was. It's just strange. Meadow's lawsuit against Porsche AG, a $13 billion corporation, intends to hold the company responsible for producing a vehicle that was defective and caused Paul Walker's death. So that's a little bit of money for this individual.
That's
won't bring
tough.
Your dad back, but
yeah.
That's kind of a sad situation for big fans. We have a lot of fans that like Paul Walker from this show. Page Six is reporting that Guns N' Roses will not have to fight over money on their upcoming tour, with core members splitting tour profits. This is a story because apparently they've been the Bickersons before as far as money and how things work.
Well, it's not a band that's noted by their great relationships.
Exactly. Well, it's not explicitly stated in the report who the core members are. Axl Rose, Slash, and Duff McKagan have been the only members featured in advertisements, while Richard Fortus, these are the names I don't know, Frank Ferrer, Dizzy Reed, and Melissa Reese have not been featured in any press
releases. Dizzy's not going to be in the concert? Well, then screw it.
Sorry about that. Rose previously had all members under salary. There's the problem there. Slash, who left GNR in 1996, wrote in 2007 that he quit after Rose had other members sign contracts like we were defined as hired hands. The band is getting a reported $14 million for Coachella and $3 million per show on the tour.
I was shocked to find out they're doing stadiums. I knew they're a big band. They had a lot of hits, but to me, their reunion band smelled like an arena tour. You know, I didn't know that they would be able to sell out like a FedEx Field, but that's what they're doing.
They're big
doing
enough. I think, Rob, it's the dearth of people that we have out there right now.
I
think they're going to do really well. We'll see. You know, I mean, they wouldn't do it if they weren't going to sell it. Keanu Reeves, this is great, has teamed up with photographer Alexandra Grant to produce a new book about shadows. It's simply titled Shadows.
No. Whoa.
The hardcover book is now selling for $43 on Amazon.
What?
Jesus. Amazon's product description describes the book as a new collaborative series by Alexandra Grant and Keanu Reeves, which explores the real and symbolic nature of the shadow as image and figure of speech. Okay. The product description continues, Grant's photographs capture Reeves' shadow at times as a silhouette and as others as traces
so
of light.
So it's his shadow.
It sounds like it. In transforming the images into color and reversing light for dark, Grant has made the shadows themselves the source of light. Well, isn't that special?
Wow.
That was so much BS.
Wow. $43, so he hopes to make nearly $129.
Absolutely. And let me point out to both of you, my birthday is the next one on the list. At some point, you have probably had a friend ask if there were any openings where you work. We have a small group at our place, but we get interns occasionally, so we don't have that kind of big business. There's a 50-50 chance you said, for your sake, you don't want anything to do with this place. It's literally killing me.
Jones of New York.
A new study found that half of people would not recommend their company to a friend or family member looking for a job. 16% would actively tell the person not to come there. Stay away!
Wow!
And 35% wouldn't be outright negative, but they wouldn't promote it either. So I've had that experience where people say, hey, you have any openings down there? You don't want to do this.
Yeah, but
you don't want to be here.
Like, I can only sort of parallel that, like, when I find out if Robert said, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I want to be in radio. I'd say, no, you don't. You do not want to.
The general heading of radio.
Yeah,
business,
but, you know, I love what we do and what we've reinvented. Mm-hmm. But the fact that if he would ever have to go to, like, a real radio station and deal with salespeople and all the stuff that we watched blow up and decay while we were there.
You should understand, we were successful and still got boned.
Exactly.
Anyway, ever since the fifth season of Game of Thrones wrapped up, there's been a lot of speculation on whether or not Jon Snow is really dead. I'm seeing the HBO promos for Game of Thrones and getting kind of ramped up. They're doing a good job of promoting it. I'm somebody that is on the fringes of the Game of Thrones fandom, but I do like watching the promos, and I do kind of get ramped up. It looks like it might be a good season.
Adrian taught me Jon Snow is what the kids call cocaine.
Mm.
Not really. It was just a joke.
HBO, does that mean it's addictive? HBO now seems to be putting the debate to rest. The network says Jon Snow is dead.
Spoiler alert!
Season 6. Jeez, well, HBO. He died last year in season
5.
Yeah,
but there was rumors of him coming back. Don't they want to ride that crest?
Well, it shouldn't be surprising. Jon Snow himself, Kit Harington, recently said he only appears as a corpse in the new season. So he kind of spoiled it for everybody.
Good gig.
Of course, just because HBO says Snow is dead, that doesn't mean he is dead. Ooh, who knows? The first episode is titled The Red Woman. Now, is that the lady that gets naked? You guys don't watch it, do you?
I don't look at Game of Thrones, no.
I do, but I don't have HBO.
Oh my God.
I have to watch it on DVD.
That could suggest that someone will be reborn in fire.
The Red Woman also could be only watched 4 days a month.
Thank you, Rob. And I knew you'd go with a period joke. In any event, HBO is still being
teed it up for me, man.
About the season premiere, refusing to give out screeners ahead of time. So chances are something big is going to happen. It airs Sunday, April 24th. That's Game of Thrones. Watch it, enjoy it, unless you're Robert Pony. The two women in Chicago named Mila and Anus have been... Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
You made Pony spit out tea.
I think I mispronounced that. It's A-N-A-I-S. How would one pronounce that word?
Anise, I believe.
Anise, I'm terribly sorry. So Mila and Anise have been insulting each other on and off on Twitter since 2013. Even though they've never met in person, it finally escalated big time on Sunday when Mila tweeted that Anise is fat. Anise tweeted that Mila had a fake boyfriend.
Oh, dear.
That was enough to push Mila over the edge. So she got an Uber, took it over to Anise's place.
Right.
And Mila and Anus started brawling in the street.
Oh, not okay.
And they both went on Twitter afterwards to agree that Mila lost the fight.
Oh. Ooh.
She blamed it on Anise's weight. quote, this is the quote from Mila. Them punches she got made her feel like 5'5", 200 pounds, when I'm 5'1", 145. Pretty. after Mila lost the fight, she got another Uber and went home.
Oh, I think that's nice.
The story of Mila and Anus. And now a little something, something. A 27-year-old guy named Nicholas Johnson still lives with his mom in Inman, South Carolina. Well, she got angry with him on Wednesday night because he smoked the last of the meth that they'd been sharing.
Oh, you know, and that's rude.
You and Sharon do that all the time,
yeah.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He called 911 because she wouldn't stop yelling at him. After the cops arrived, he wouldn't stop screaming and swearing at her while they were on their front porch setting. So he was arrested for disorderly conduct. They weren't actually in possession of any drugs, though, because he really did use up the last of their meth about an hour before the cops got there. So he and his mom actually aren't facing any drug charges at this point. And for Friday's last story, the only thing that popped into my head was, I wonder if they also share a toothbrush. Oh. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, meth. Meth makes your... anyway, we'll take a break and come back with the last audio vault of the week with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Bara Show, everybody.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I am always Gary Stein.
And on tomorrow's episode of the show, Gary has a big announcement. Will you give us a clue?
It's got to do with my prowess.
Oh, that can mean any number of things. Also, we'll give you the update on the Battle of the Bad Songs. Your final vote is needed. Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
Buy a t-shirt.
The Tony Perkins Show.
All right. You heard it here. Gary Stein shows his penis on the next Tony Perkins Show. That should be very exciting. Welcome back to the show. Hey, Amazon, we want you to support us. All you have to do is shop Amazon and do it through MikeOMaraShow.com. Go to the MikeOMaraShow.com Amazon page. It's right there. There's a header right there. You know, even if you use ad blocker like I do, there's a header on our website. If you surf online and you go to MikeOMaraShow.com, the Amazon comes right through, doesn't it, Pony?
Yes, it does.
There's no way you can get rid of it.
You can't run, you can't hide.
You got it, Mike. Pony probably didn't want me to say that. Or click the Amazon button on our website, or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Even an idiot could figure that out.
That's right.
It's really easy. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple, but it means the world to us. Thank you, friend. Thank you for being good.
Friend.
A tradition unlike any other, shopping through the Michael Mara Show page for Amazon. Without further ado, let's open it up the audio vault for today, Friday, April 8, 2016. Rob, take it away.
I used to really pay attention to the Billboard charts when I listened to music radio. I liked to see where songs were and where they would climb. And I listened to Casey's Top 40, all that stuff, American Top 40. But I was very surprised to look at a glance at Billboard. The April 16th chart of this year, do you know what song is on at number 6 this week?
This year.
The April 16th chart is...
Simon and Garfunkel.
The cover, right?
No, their song.
Hello, Sounds darkness, of Silence. My old friend.
This is the number 6 song in America this week. And they say the reason is there's the cover that renewed some interest in it, but there's a meme on the internet where they're interviewing Ben Affleck and the guy who plays Superman, I guess, or is it Henry Cavill, I think is his name, about the Superman v. Batman movie. And they're really sort of not speaking well of it, and Ben Affleck looks really depressed. So they did a meme of his face with this song behind it, and they're saying that was popular enough to put Simon and Garfunkel back on the top 40 charts.
Well, it's one of the great songs of all time.
Oh, it's a great song.
They were old school, remember?
Spectacular song.
But anyway, I just thought that was sort of funny. Sometimes Oscar spotlights the top 10 records. That's what's on the charts this week.
And you know what? Call me crazy. I love Simon and Garfunkel.
Well, I really like Simon.
Well, Garfunkel has the voice, though.
Yeah. Fun to say,
yeah, but Garfunkel's a dick. You know,
Garfunkel was a dick.
He trashed a hotel room in Iowa City.
And Steve Bridges has never forgotten it.
Exactly. Well, they were smoking meth.
And mighty AM 1630, KCJJ. We never talk about that radio station. Hey, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Very good. We love you.
Did you watch any of the American Idol finale?
No, I didn't watch it. We didn't get to it on the show today. How was it? Did you
enjoy it? I thought it was fantastic. I haven't watched the show in probably 5-6 years.
Everybody came back, right?
Everybody came back. And the one misstep they had is that there were some good surprises, but they revealed them in press releases leading up. For example, we knew Brian Dunkelman was going to come back, but it was done pretty funny. At the very beginning, they introduced Ryan Seacrest. He comes out, and then they interrupt him.
Brian Dunkelman!
Very sad, actually. Horrible career choice.
It's good to see you, man.
Well, 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 Seacrest. Looks like after tonight, you're going to be out of a job. And trust me, nobody knows the pain of life without Idol more than me. But don't worry, buddy. You know what? Being unemployed, it's not that bad.
Actually, I have a radio gig and some other stuff going on.
Yeah, that's what I said, too.
He ended it actually classy. He said that he thought Ryan had done a great job through the years, and they shook hands or hugged or whatever. But I thought it was handled really well. The one thing that I'm not buying is they're saying today that Ryan and Paula and Randy did not know Simon was there, and that when he walked out, it was a surprise. Here's the moment right here.
Bull. But he can't be with us tonight. So,
no, they said in the press release he was going to be
there. That's what I'm saying. But
the only people that weren't going to be there that were a question mark was Randy.
And Randy was there.
That's what I read. And Randy was there, too. But the thing is, Randy was there.
What's he got to do? Journey producing another album?
Come on.
But anyway, this is Simon's moment, which I thought was pretty cool because I was a big fan in the day.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I just thought this would be a good opportune on behalf of myself, Randy, Ryan, for Paula to apologize over the years for being so mean to the contestants when we were trying to be nurturing, helpful. You were really horrible, and I think now is the time to apologize to America.
Wow.
It's a fair point.
Unbelievable.
Please. Well, we apologize for her.
And, you know, the show really, no one watched it, I think, for the last 4 or 5 years. But in the day, it was so red hot. And people built their schedules. It was good stuff. And Ryan Seacrest at the end said goodbye for now. So, you know, they're going to repackage it and bring it back somehow.
Everybody talks about the ageless J-Lo. But the comment that we saw when the highlights were shown this morning, my wife said, you know, maybe getting to that age where some of those outfits might not be the right outfits for her. You watched it. Would you say
she's on the cusp, I would say. I think some of those
not
outfits.
Not that she's not going to be hot. I'm just thinking like,
the outfits.
You know, like all rockers, it's kind of like all performers, they got to modify it a little bit.
Some of that outfit last night, I think, had the same technology they used on the George Washington Bridge.
There you go.
There was a lot of construction going on.
Yeah. But she's still hot, and she's, you know, she's known in Hollywood as being ageless, so good for her.
My apologies to Ernie Els, who had the record, set the record yesterday.
I feel so horrible for him because he's known as a nice guy on tour. He really is, and it can happen to anybody.
He had the worst score for the first hole in tournament history. They actually scored it as a 10. But it was a 9 when they reviewed the video. I have tape, actually. You know how they have ambient noise? We've isolated the tape. Here's Ernie Els 6 putting yesterday on the first hole at the Masters.
Son of a ball, why didn't you just go home? That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Suck my white ball!
So you thought you had a bad day.
That was pretty funny.
All right. You know what? I like this piece of tape because he sounds good. The last time Merle Haggard appeared on the Grand Ole Opry was October of last year. And this is his performance. And if this is the one he goes out on, God bless him, because I think he sounds dynamite.
Button you down, don't square the deal.
Merle Haggard.
Yeah, good guy.
At least you know the way I feel. Take all the money in the bank. I'll just sit here and drink.
Exactly. So that sounds pretty good.
I played that. And by the way, all those guys, Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard. I mean, it's a lifestyle, too. Craggy is the best way to describe Merle Haggard. And, you know, that's the smokes, guys. That's what does it. It does.
But you know what? I think what's so cool about that is, you know, at the end, you see so many artists that fall apart. And I know he had the lifestyle, but he still had the voice. So God bless him.
How old was he when he died?
He's 26.
Thank you, Rob.
Let's close with this.
Do you know that they are actually, because of some recent losses, they're juggling the staff at the Trump campaign. Things are going to change. So keep in mind.
They stayed in New York, didn't go out to California. Big doings.
Things are happening, Mike.
Losing in Wisconsin, there has been a big shakeup in the Trump campaign staff, apparently. Yeah, in fact, the guy in charge of racist comments is now in charge of sexist comments. So they switched.
So that could be the game changer. Have a great weekend, everybody. That is your Magic Audio Vault.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the mailbag, send it along to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And don't forget to take our survey. Great questions like, what intern do you like most? Just click the banner ad at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It means a lot to us. We rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or a family member, somebody you really like, about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and our producer, Ponyboy,
Matt Bloom.
Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody, and have a great weekend.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.